counselor, the Prince of Peace is he. And he's Jesus, my Lord, and my God. How many believe that? Oh, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. He's the great I am, the truth, the way, and the fullness dwells in him. And he's wonderful, the counselor, the Prince of Peace is he. And he's Jesus, my Lord, and my God. And he's God all over this platform. He's God back at that door. He's God in the amen corner, and he's God forevermore. Well, I know God is God, and God will never change. Well, I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes, he's God when the thunder roars, he's God way up in heaven, and God way down in my soul. Well, I know God is God, and God will never change. Well, I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God all over the ocean, he's God all over the sea, he's God all over creation, and God all over me. Well, I know God is God, and God will never change. Well, I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God in the Father, he's God in the Son, he's God in the Holy Ghost, and this God is one. Well, I know God is God, and God will never change. Well, I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God in Oklahoma, he's God in Tennessee, he's even God in Santa Maria, God all over me. Well, I know God is God, and God will never change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God all over this platform, he's God back at that door, he's God in the amen corner, and God forevermore. I know God is God, and God will never change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. You believe it? Let's worship him. Glory! Oh, hallelujah! Come on, let's worship him. Oh, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. How many really believe that he's God? Praise God. Because I'm going to talk about that today. Somebody said, you're going to talk about what we already know? Uh-huh. Praise God. I believe we need to hear it again and again and again. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to read out of the book of Revelation, the third chapter, begin reading with the seventh verse, Revelation 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. How many's glad he knows your works? Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength left, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And then I would like to read from my thoughts this afternoon the next verse. Behold, I come quickly. How many believe that? Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, everyone say no man, no man, not a denomination, not some organization, but he said, hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Would you pray? God, we love you today. Your spirit and your anointing and your power. Bless us, O God, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was not as fortunate as some of you. If you listened to my brother preach yesterday, you know a little bit about what I'm going to say. I was not raised on an apostolic pew. I was not brought up in a Sunday school that taught one God and baptism in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost, as we believe it today. It's almost 20 years next year. It's about an 18-year-old boy that God began to deal with my heart about what we preach today. One of the first things that my pastor taught me after I was baptized in Jesus' name was that the Philadelphia church is the church that we're a part of today. These seven churches were actual churches in Asia. But I believe that they also represent church ages. The first church, the church of Ephesus, I am told ended at the end of the apostolic age, or about 100 AD, or after the apostles. And if that be true, then the Philadelphia church, that church that still has some strength, has not denied his name. Can you say amen? Is the church that I'm a part of. I want to preach about that church tonight. Maybe you don't feel it like I feel it. But I'm going to say some things from my heart today. Hallelujah. I have heard the word throughout my last year, the word charismatic. But can I tell you from my heart that 20 years ago, I walked out of a Trinity Pentecostal church to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 20 years ago, I began to hear truth preached like I had never heard it preached before. 20 years ago, I began to see things that thrilled me and excited me, and I shouted about. Hallelujah! Oh, God, help me today. And if there's anything today that I am frightened about, I am frightened that some people that do not understand where a lot of the other denominations rose up in some truth and then lost it. Friend, I was there. I was part of an organization that even in that year, I watched them lose truth.
Come on now.
Yeah, you got it. I'm going to just say it, and that's all right. They never have to ask me to preach again, but that's the only way I know how to preach. If the charismatic church is right, I've been a fool for 20 years. If the charismatic church is correct, I have wasted 20 years of preaching and praying and shouting and singing. If the Philadelphia church is the true church, if it represents the apostolic church in the last days, if it is the church of the name of Jesus Christ, which I believe it is. Then he put a prophetic statement about 1978. And he said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast that which you have." You may not be as excited about being baptized in Jesus' name as I am. I didn't stumble in a United Pentecostal church. I didn't just hear somebody sing and walk in the door and they said, "Repent," and I repented, and they said, "Now everybody's baptized in Jesus' name correctly," and I got baptized in Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost and sat in the pew, and they said, "This is how to do it." I had to find out for myself. I had opposition. I said I had opposition. I had preachers and friends and people tell me, "That's not the way. It's not the truth. Don't go into it. Stay away from it." Could you imagine an 18-year-old boy just wanting to do the will of God, having preachers tell you that's not it? But somehow down in my heart I had a search for truth. Somehow I had a search to know what God wanted. Oh, thank God for hunger. Thank God for hunger. And I said, "God, I want to know it." And I'm going to tell you something. If I was among a oneness man, I saw one. If I was among a Trinity person, I saw three. And sometimes I saw two. I'd read one scripture and there'd be two, and another there'd be three, and another there'd be one. And I thought, "I don't know what I am." I was confused. But oh, I say it in all the sincerity I can say this afternoon. When God broke open His Word to me that one day, every piece of the puzzle fit together perfectly. Every page, hallelujah, made a difference. Every book had its place. Every verse fit in its place. Hallelujah! I hope everybody gets the Holy Ghost. But listen to me. I've got something I've got to hold on to. I hope everybody gets healed. But God's given me something I can't turn loose. If you don't think holding fast is important to God, let me read you a few verses. I've got to hurry. 1 Thessalonians. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Timothy. Holding faith and a good conscience. 2 Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Titus. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Hebrews 4, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And to the church in 1968, again I emphasize, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man, friend, let me tell you, in or out of this organization, I'm not going to let anybody get my crap. I just thought of the word. He preached it last night. I'm a fanatic.
Yeah, you are.
Hallelujah. He left one definition out that I heard. I'm going to give it to you. A fanatic is somebody that loves God more than you do. If you're in the service, and Brother Anderson and Mike, I don't see him right now, but some's in the service. Holding fast means to hold your position or your ground. In the sports, it's called keeping the lead. If it's just one point, don't let it go. Are you with me? One point, just one point. Oh, we'd like to win by 50 points or 100 points, but just one point means who's the winner. Well, glory, glory, glory. Brother Buxton, pray for me because I'm getting that feeling that I, you know, just tell it like it is. Tell it. Oh, glory! There's some people that I'm afraid of don't really love this gospel like they need to love it. They need to hold on to it. Not just kind of loosely, but they need to grasp it, fight for it, run with it, and if need be, die for it. Hallelujah. You can't hold to a prayer half prayed, a consecration half kept, a Bible partially read. Well, glory. Oh, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying this afternoon? If there was only one copy of the Bible in the whole world, brother showed me a little microfilm copy of the whole Bible on microfilm. It's only about 1 or 2 inches by 2 inches last night. Some other preachers I saw have them. And I was trying to read Acts 2:38. But if we only had one copy of the entire Bible and you had it, that's what I'm preaching. In the whole entire world, there was only one copy of the Bible and you had it. That's how important it would be to hold that Bible, to cherish it, to protect it. But Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." Hold that fast. Hold that fast. That you have, that no man take your crown. I said it a minute ago, 20 years ago, I came out of the Trinity Pentecostals. If you don't know it, let me tell you. I was where the charismatics are today, 20 years ago, but I'm a lot farther down the road today than they are. Hallelujah! The church after the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Laodicea. We all recognize the Church of Laodicea by one word, the word lukewarm. But along with this word lukewarm, John writes and tells us that this church is increased with goods and say to themselves, "We're rich." Well, glory. And we really have need of nothing. But God said, "You're poor and wretched and naked and miserable and without." What happened between Philadelphia church and Laodicea church? I'll tell you what happened, church. They let loose of what they had. It slipped through their fingers. I was preaching one time and studying, praying, and the Lord gave me a thought. I had always looked on a lukewarm person as someone that just kind of was lackadaisically going along in the world, just kind of didn't really, weren't in the church or weren't out of the church. But God gave me this thought. You can create a lukewarm atmosphere, or you can create lukewarmness by putting something very hot with something very cold. Did you hear me? I said you can create lukewarmness by putting something very hot with something very cold. And putting those two elements together, it creates what we call a lukewarm condition. Glory. I said glory. Let me put it to the individual and then to the church, and I'm going to hurry and close. But listen, you can pray like a house on fire, and if you're not faithful, it creates lukewarmness. Amen. Now that person that prays doesn't feel like he's lukewarm. I know how to pray. I can touch God. But his lukewarmness counteracts the prayer life, and it creates lukewarmness. Well, glory anyway. Hallelujah. I'm not really interested. I like what the brother said the other day. I'm not really interested in what the charismatics are doing. But I am interested that that spirit would come into my church and possibly create a lukewarm condition.
Well, glory.
Yeah, you got it.
Praise God. I'm sorry I'm not funny like my brother. One little girl told me in the restaurant, I said, I'm not funny when I preach. She said, I'm not coming then. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you out of my heart, praise the Lord, they can erase the tape. That's the great thing about a tape. You can erase it. But I'm telling you out of my heart, I came out of that.
Yes, sir.
I've been there.
Yes, sir.
I know where they're at, and I know where they're going.
Yes,
I know their direction. If you want to know the direction, go look at the Methodists. Go look at the Nazarenes. Go look at the Assembly of God. Go look at the Church of God. Go look at the Pentecost Holiness Group. Go and look at all of these groups, and I'll tell you where they're going. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus said, I've given you something. You better hold on to it. You better take heed. You better grab a hold of it. I've got something that you better take a hold and never get away. Let me tell you. Every group that I know of that lost a standard lost their message. I told my church one time, I said, my mom and dad was too mean to me. They were too hard. I said, we lived in the city, and I was 12 years old before I could ride my bicycle on the street. You ask my brother, that's true. They had Mrs. So-and-so's yard and Mrs. So-and-so's yard, and I could only play to that area. And to today, I'll admit it, I believe they were too hard on me. But you know what? I'm still alive.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
I didn't get run over by some truck. Somebody didn't kidnap me. I knew there was no problem with that. But you see, they set some boundaries. Somebody said my pastor's too hard. Oh no, he set some boundaries. Oh, hallelujah. I told somebody, I said, if we get into heaven and everybody could have got there and watched TV, I said, there's still a scripture for you. He said, hallelujah. He'll dry up all your tears and all your sorrow. Glory. I said, if you get up there and you could have wore something, you could have wore pants, you could have cut your hair, I said, you still made it. But I said, I don't want to meet God and find out I let down and I let something slip through my fingers and I let something go and not make it. Oh, hallelujah.
I said, Brother Baglin, they wouldn't have asked you to preach. They knew you were that kind.
Well, I'm just telling you, I'm speaking from experience. The church that I came out of taught me that motion picture theaters were wrong, but they're going to it now. You know how I teach people to win souls in my town? I said, when you meet somebody and they start talking to you, I said, if you want to know what to ask them one question. None of them got an answer. How are you saved?
The Baptists disagree with the Baptists? Come on. One believes believing, another one believes confessing, somebody believes repentance, somebody else believes baptism. Oh, hallelujah, I believe the whole message. It's repentance and baptism and Holy Ghost and holy living and righteous living and doing right and living right and acting right and being right till He comes. Would you stand? Let's ask God to hold on. Help us to hold fast what we've got, that no man take our crown.